Psychedelic substances, alchemist's oven. In my experience, psychedelic substances are like an alchemist's oven. They bring people to deep states of consciousness that can loosen up the blockages in the body and psyche, melting the body armour. The deeper states of consciousness you enter, the deeper release can happen in the body armour. This made me fully aware of both the danger and the potential of LSD. LSD can penetrate deep into the body armour, and if you are in a setting that allows you to apply psychotherapeutic methods to process the psychological and psychosomatic problems that usually crop up, you can experience true psychological and physical rebirth. However, taking LSD in an inappropriate setting can lead to extremely tense states, mentally as well as physically. For some people, this may even mean total disintegration of the personality. 1 o'clock p.m. Following these insights, many things happen in my body. For the next 3 hours, I move around within my own body, identifying and working on my blockages. I lie down, and my lower jaw begins to shake uncontrollably. My teeth chatter wildly. My lower jaw moves independently. I feel a chill, and recall my failed LSD trip in the acid garden, where I sat shivering in wet clothing, cold in both psychological and physical terms. This is also connected with my ears. I often had earaches and infections of the inner ear when I was a child. I often hear the sound of an insect in my left ear. 1:10. I sense the anger of the Native Americans with the white man who has seized their land. I feel like an old Native American on Big Mountain, screaming my death howl at the white man. I scream and howl, and now and then I punch the pillows. My teeth and jaws are chattering. 1:30. The howling of the Native Americans continues unabated. In psychotherapy, one of the most important prerequisites is the ability to totally let oneself go. But many people suffer from inhibitions. What on earth will the others think? Isn't it all a bit ridiculous? I don't want to reveal myself as so puny and pathetic. All such thoughts can crop up during a psychotherapy session. The client or patient can often exhibit very strange behaviour. It's not unusual, for example, to sit and belch and shout at the top of one's voice for an entire hour, or to utter all sorts of bizarre sounds, or wriggle the pelvis in an uninhibited sexual manner. In fact, one of the most difficult things to do is to let go of oneself, to abandon self-control, to remove the fetters from the self. This demands great confidence in the psychotherapist or helper. With regards to this problem, ecstasy is almost the perfect psychedelic substance. It creates a positive space where everything is okay. It feels right and natural to shout, belch, scream, fart, and express love, to say and do things that we don't normally do or say out loud. For me, ecstasy is the safest psychedelic psychotherapeutic substance that has yet been produced. And the official ban on its use in most Western countries is nothing short of an international crime. I experience myself as an angry and powerless Native American. As a member of the indigenous population, I'm a victim of crime. My homeland has been stolen from me in the most brutal fashion. I'm full of rage and I feel deeply unhappy. I experience this as something from a previous incarnation and feel that the Great Spirit has abandoned me. I think of what we Native Americans have done wrong that could be serious enough to deserve this disaster. Since my inner journey began, and since I've made the acquaintanceship of the Native Americans through studies and inner experiences, I've hated the white man, my own ethnic group. This means that I sometimes hate myself because I belong to the white man's tribe. Now I can see the roots of this hatred in this former incarnation as a Native American. It feels liberating and purifying to scream this hatred, eliminating it from my system. 3 p.m. I sense that my fingers have become claws. My left hand hurts and shakes violently. I develop eagle wings and eagle's claws. 3:30 p.m. I feel that I'm wearing braces. I did as a child. Now it's as if I'm getting a new set of teeth, My palate feels new. 4:05 p.m. After my previous failed trips and the single session I had with Hans, I felt that my whole body has become skin and bone. But now my body feels bigger in every respect. It's as if I'm in an entirely new body. I feel that George and I have entered a new friendship, one based on terms of equality. Our friendship transcends age and knowledge. I feel a deep love for him and tell him that I love him. This is the first time that I tell a man I love him. 5:10 p.m. Finally, I see two images. A hilly meadow with different types of grass growing tall and lilac flowers, and the face of a person who's meditating. 2 days after the session, I found myself in a very dynamic high-energy state. My body felt free, uninhibited. It's as if I was flying away. I went for long jogs, with my body brimming with energy. I flew away, as if in a fairy tale land. My thoughts were pure and clear. This was the ideal physical state. On Thursday, 4 days after my initiation into the kingdom of the ecstasy god, George and I returned to the house we'd borrowed. I potted about in the garden, and a lot of things started to happen in my chest. Water, amniotic fluid, and mucus welled up in my throat. I wondered whether I should tell George that I had told the members of the commune that he'd held an ecstasy session. As some of the psychedelic substances are illegal, absolute discretion is important. And in my enthusiasm and excitement, I had been incapable of maintaining this decision in the commune. I felt it was important to play an honest game, as I put it. Simply by taking that decision, my windpipe and throat loosened up. Just as in close friendships and love affairs, it's very important that there be 100% honesty between the helper and the inner traveller.